Hey there, ready to go green and maybe keep a little more green in your pocket?
Sounds good to me.
We're diving into the world of paperless living. And before you tune out thinking, oh no, not another Save the Trees lecture,
Right.
this sweet technology blog post we dug up takes a pretty interesting turn, even touching on some of those big tech concerns you mentioned.
Yeah, what's fascinating is how the article connects sustainability with data privacy. It really makes you think twice about the hidden costs of something we often take for granted.
Right, like we've all been there. That ink cartridge runs dry at the worst possible moment, and you're stuck paying an arm and a leg for a new one. This article points out how much we spend on ink and paper every year, but it goes further, suggesting that some companies actually make it harder to use cheaper generic inks. Almost like they're trying to control how we use their products even after we've bought them.
Yeah, that's called vendor lock-in. And it's a big concern when it comes to digital rights and consumer choice. The article highlights a few examples, like how HP has been known to block third-party ink cartridges with software updates.
It's kind of creepy when you think about it, but it gets even weirder that, remember those tiny yellow dots that sometimes show up on printed documents? I never really thought about what those were for.
Right, those aren't just random marks. Those dots are actually part of a tracking system. Each dot pattern is unique and can be traced back to the specific printer that produced the document.
No way,
Yeah.
really. The article gave a pretty chilling example of how this technology was used to catch a government contractor leaking classified information. But it made me realize this could happen to anyone.
Exactly. And it brings up a crucial question, especially given your interest in maintaining your privacy. How comfortable are you with your printer potentially acting as a tracking device, even for something as simple as printing out a grocery list?
Okay, so we've established that printers can be sneakier than we thought. But then this article takes a hard left turn and starts talking about HTML, like the stuff websites are made of.
Right.
I was confused too.
Yeah, you wouldn't think of HTML for your shopping list or that novel you're working on. But the article makes a compelling case for considering less mainstream formats, and it ties directly back to your concerns about big tech control.
Okay, break it down for me. How does HTML fight back against these tech giants?
It's all about something called vendor lock-in, which we touched on earlier. Companies love to lock you into their ecosystem. You know, like how that old WordPerfect document won't open on your new laptop, or how that pricey printer ink seems to run out every other week.
Ugh, don't remind me. I lost a whole short story to one of those digital black holes.
It's frustrating, right? But with HTML, the article argues you're not at the mercy of proprietary software or constant updates.
So what you're saying is HTML is like the universal language of the internet.
Exactly. It's the backbone of the web. And because of that, it has to be open and accessible to everyone. Any computer or smartphone can open an HTML file without needing a specific program, which is a huge plus for long-term accessibility.
So if I wrote my next novel in HTML, I wouldn't have to worry about some future software update holding my masterpiece hostage.
Theoretically, yes. The article makes the case that using open formats like HTML is like future-proofing your data. You're no longer reliant on a single company's whims or vulnerable to their pricing schemes.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal here. So instead of being locked into a specific software ecosystem, HTML gives you more control and flexibility over your own work.
Precisely. It's about taking back some of that power. Of course, even HTML isn't a foolproof solution. Things change, technology evolves, who knows what the future holds. But it does make you think about the power of open source solutions, especially given your interest in limiting big tech's influence.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal of this whole digital liberation thing, but let's be real, what about the downsides? Like, going all in on digital seems risky. What if there's a security breach or I lose my data? Plus, scanning all my paperwork sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, you bring up some valid concerns, and the article addresses those too. It doesn't sugarcoat the challenges of going digital, but it does offer some practical advice. For example, security is a big one, especially given your desire to keep big tech out of your business. Strong, unique passwords are a must, and two-factor authentication adds an extra layer of protection. They even suggest looking into personal NAS drives.
Hold on, a NAS drive? What even is that?
Think of it like your own personal cloud. But instead of trusting your data to a big company, you control everything, the hardware, the software, the access. You mentioned being wary of big tech, so having your own secure data fortress could be appealing.
My own data fortress, I like the sound of that. But back to the practical stuff. Let's say I'm ready to dip my toes into the digital ocean. Where do I even start?
Well, the article emphasizes starting small, which I think is key. You don't have to scan every piece of paper you own on day one. Maybe begin by digitizing your most important documents, things like tax forms, medical records, anything you absolutely can't afford to lose. As you get more comfortable, you can gradually expand your digital domain.
And backups.
Yeah, absolutely. Redundancy is crucial. Even with the most secure systems, data loss is always a possibility. So multiple backups stored in different locations, some cloud, some physical, that's the recipe for digital peace of mind. And, you know, it's interesting to think about, even physical documents can be lost, damaged, or fade over time.
Yeah.
This isn't just a digital issue. It's about being mindful of how we preserve important information.
So what's the final verdict? Should everyone listening ditch their printers and go full-on digital revolutionaries?
Not necessarily. The real takeaway here isn't about demonizing printing altogether. It's about awareness.
Mm.
Being aware of the hidden costs, the potential privacy implications, and the control we might be giving up by not exploring other options. It's about finding what works best for you and your needs, which might involve a blend of digital and physical solutions.
It's like choosing the right tool for the right job, but in this case, the tools might be digital documents or a trusty old printer.
Exactly. And it's okay to start small. Maybe try digitizing one document a week or explore open source alternatives to your usual software. You never know. You might just discover a new way of working that gives you more control and even saves you some money in the long run.
I'd say this deep dive opened my eyes to a few things I hadn't considered before. Who knew printers could be so complex?
It's all about understanding the implications of the technology we use every day. We often focus on the convenience, but it's important to ask those what-if questions, especially when it comes to our data and our privacy.
That's a good thought to leave us with. If companies are monitoring something as simple as printing, it makes you wonder what other information they might be collecting. Well, that's our show for today. We hope this deep dive gave you some food for thought and maybe even inspired you to take a closer look at your own digital habits. Until next time, keep those questions coming and happy diving.